you know, there's in terms of journalism, I talked about, you know, I think it was it Ed Mahoney who did the FOI stuff on Pure and everything? He did a great job with all that stuff. And, you know, we want to highlight good journalism that's going on. And, you know, I use Tom Dudzik's Capital Report a lot. It's a great aggregator of content. And Mike Cerulli, who works at WTNH and does a lot of work for Capital Report, he does this tip sheet, which comes out every Monday. And it's just, and I've been a little bit of a late adopter, but it's a great read. It comes out at like 6 a.m. on a Monday, and you can subscribe to it, and it goes right into your inbox. It's fantastic. And so I'm trying to work, you know, he's got his own media interests and job and so on and so forth. I'm trying to get Mike on for, we've had him on once before, I believe. Mike Cerulli from WTNH and the Capital Report joining us here in Brian and Company. Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you? Thanks for having me back.
So, I mean, do you put them to bed on Sunday night, or are you up super duper early like this morning?
It depends on what's going on. You know, it depends on if the kind of event that I wanted to write about was happening earlier in the week. I'll sometimes lock in the post on, you know, then, but sometimes it ends up being a late Sunday night.
Yeah, I don't want to steal your thunder. I mean, people can subscribe. I mean, you've had a lot of interactions with Lamont, who's on the move. He was in D.C., and now is he in India, or is he en route, like, as we speak?
It's my understanding he's there. I have not talked to him or gotten any updates from the office, but, you know, I was told he'd be wheels up Sunday morning, and then I think there might have been a stop in between, but I think he's there by now, and certainly the rest of the team is there too. So
what happened in D.C.?
So the governor went down to D.C. for a meeting of the National Governors Association. This is the nonpartisan group that brings together all the 50 governors and territorial governors and mayors. And they, it's one of, I will say, just having interacted with him for a couple of years now in this job, it's one of the things he really enjoys doing is going down there or out to wherever they have these national governors meetings. Usually they're in D.C., but sometimes they're elsewhere. And it's really an opportunity for him to talk with his fellow governors who oftentimes, you know, come from backgrounds similar to him. You know, I think sometimes we have a tendency to lump all politicians into one group, but you really are a distinct type of person if you want to be a governor, right? Because you want to be that operating executive in charge of something.
Right.
A lot of these guys come out of the business world. And so he's down there doing that. And critically, this is the first National Governors Association meeting under the new administration. So he met with a number of the cabinet officials and actually, you know, dined with the president and a couple dozen other governors on Saturday night.
So does he get FaceTime with Trump, or is it just sort of a big gathering?
Yeah, I said to him on the phone when we talked, I said, you know, it's a role reversal, right? Usually he's the guy in the room with 100 people that everyone's trying to get 2 minutes of FaceTime with or a minute of FaceTime with. Now he's the guy who's getting a minute of FaceTime with the president. So the meeting really wasn't about him going to see Trump. So to the extent they talked on Saturday night,
right,
you know, that was not really the point of it. The point of it for him was to talk to the two administration officials who have been given sort of the energy portfolio, because those conversations, they hope, could lead to some positive action for Connecticut's energy prices.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because obviously that's taken was center stage last week with Mercer Gillette and Pura and everything else. And we talked with Aaron Stewart earlier, and we talked with Ryan Fazio last week. I mean, obviously the Republicans were not involved, and it was kind of news to them, and it sort of took the wind out of the sails to some degree for the Thursday hearing. We're talking with Mike Cerulli from WTNH and the Capital Report tip sheet. What, you know, when it comes to Pura and Gillette and the deal, I mean, ultimately, is it a win, a loss, a draw for Lamont?
You know, I'd say it's a mixed bag, right? This is something he's wanted for months and months and months, to renominate Marissa Gillette to serve on PURA. He believes she's a good regulator, a tough regulator. In recent weeks, I would say, the rhetoric between him and the utilities has gotten a bit heated. You know, he's specifically called out the utility lobbying effort, and the couple of times we talked, you know, the press had the chance to sort of press him on this before he left, was, you know, he basically was saying, and I was joking at people, it sounded a little bit like George Bush. You know, he was saying, you know, are you with us or are you with the terrorists? He would say to the legislators, you're either with the consumer or you're with the utility lobbyists. So I think it's a win for him on one level. On the other hand, as I wrote this morning in my newsletter, You know, this is a governor who likes to talk about how he is kind of an outsider to the ways of the state capitol. And he had a line, actually, in his budget address where he talked about, you know, I want to broaden the state's hiring practices so it's not just the usual suspects applying for these state jobs. And, you know, he has said things like that throughout his tenure in office. And then in order to secure what we understand was a top goal of his, to get Marissa Gillette reconfirmed, he really did a very classic Hartford maneuver, which is to cut a deal that will end up in a couple people getting jobs. So it's, I think, a mixed bag because, yeah, on the one hand, he got what he wanted. On the other hand, he's had to do something that, at least publicly, he has sort of signaled an aversion to this type of wheeling and dealing.
Yeah, just so people know, if you follow politics, you know, in Connecticut, you go to, you know, ctcapitalreport.com and you can sign up for the newsletter there. It's just a really valuable aggregator of content in Connecticut for political headlines and news and columns and so on and so forth. And Mike Cerulli is a part of that team, and he works at WTNH. He does a radio show, too, I believe, on the weekends. I'm curious, though, that the frustration with a lot of people with this conversation last week and this Gillette hoopla is that we're not actually talking about how to lower prices for consumers.
Yeah.
What did Lamont say about, you know, what he can actually do or what the state can do to make it a little bit easier when it comes to paying these bills?
Well, the meetings he had down in D.C., I think he hopes to be able to deliver something very soon for Connecticut. He's been pretty consistent saying, look, he thinks the core problem is that there's actually not enough energy supply in Connecticut to meet current demand, and certainly not enough to meet growing demand if he wants to bring online huge data centers and artificial intelligence models here in Connecticut. So the meetings he had with Energy Secretary Chris Wright and Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, who's sort of been given a portfolio over energy, the two things he mentioned to me were, one, and this was a bit more concrete than we've typically heard from him before, you know, he's always hinted at bringing more natural gas into Connecticut. But he said specifically he had a conversation with both of these secretaries. And the line he sort of said to me was, you know, there's a huge deposit of natural gas beneath Pennsylvania. This is what led to their fracking boom in the last two decades. And there's an existing pipeline. You know, as he says, that the pipeline's at capacity. And he said he wants more. The word he used was optionality to bring more natural gas into Connecticut. And then basically stopped short of saying, I specifically asked these guys to widen that pipeline or expand the capacity in any way. But it seemed pretty clear to me, at least, that he was hinting at some action on that pipeline coming in from Pennsylvania. And then on nuclear, too, he's having conversations with them on how to expand the capacity at the Millstone plant. And look, you know, it's sort of something a lot of Democrats won't say, but the Republican administration, one of the priorities that Vivek Ramaswamy at least laid out during the transition period was they want to get, you know, they want to pare back a lot of the very complex nuclear regulatory frameworks that they have down in D.C. and get the permitting process to go from a decade-long process to something that can happen in a handful of years.
Yeah, I was going to say, because those things can take a lot of time, and that's not really immediate relief, but some long-term concepts that make some sense. We got to go, but, I mean, it's a parlor game I play all the time. Your latest sense of things, do you think he goes for a third term?
I think he's very much acting like a guy who's running for a third term. And I think, you know, you saw one of his friends, fellow governors, Janet Mills, getting a kind of an argument with Trump in front of the cameras. He seems much more... You know, he used the word interesting a couple times. He's like, this is a really interesting trip. He seems really kind of invigorated by all this, where a lot of other Democrats are kind of on a war footing. So I think he goes again, and I think the last few months have actually sort of injected him with a bit of a new energy.
Huh. Good stuff, Mike. And again, the tip sheet comes out every Monday morning. You can go to CT Capital Report and to get all the info. We appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me here. Great to be here.
Mike Cerulli.